Good morning, church.
Good morning. Welcome to this beautiful day of worship as we celebrate John Huss Sunday and the season of the Pentecost, and just a great time for renewal and unity in the life of our church. A few announcements before we get started. I made a few changes to the bulletin after the bulletin was printed, so my apologies for that, but our opening hymn is going to be 356, Christians Dismiss Your Fears. We'll already have it on the PowerPoint, so if you need to look for a page number, it'll be hymn number 356. Also, please don't forget, tomorrow our summer card party will be happening. Seems like it happened just right around the corner, but it'll be from 6 to 9 tomorrow. So if you volunteered to bring food, please don't forget to bring it. And anybody who's happy to help, we are glad to have you, and we appreciate all the helping hands we get for that. And also, please don't forget Cares and Prayers. We'll have their monthly meeting on Tuesday at 1:30 at the church. And we passed around the usher and greeter list. That's still going. We still need a few people to sign up for August if you have not had an opportunity to do that. So we would appreciate that. And please don't forget Brown Bag and Big Ideas continues to meet at Tescora Park on Mondays from noon to 1:15. I've been very impressed by the Shenbrunn contingency we've had there, and we've had a lot of good, deep, fulfilling conversations there. And also, please don't forget VBS is right around the corner next Sunday, so to speak. So please get those registration forms in as soon as possible as we look forward to opening night next Sunday. And please don't forget our Blessings of the Animal service, which is open to our community, will take place at 7 p.m. on Thursday, July 19th. Anybody who'd like to bring an animal or a pet, or if you have an animal that has passed away or is sick and would like to be blessed, you can also bring that animal. We do ask if you're bringing animals. We know that we have a lot of fervent animal lovers in our congregation, but if you could keep a one-to-one ratio of person to animal, we would appreciate that, so we don't have one person trying to contain six dogs and that poor little cat in the corner just being very scared, and then I have a different type of service to worry about. Lunch Bunch will be at Grinders after worship. Please make sure your camp registration forms are getting in. We'd love to see a ton of kids at camp this year. Tar Hollow, they were already due, so if you get those in as soon as possible, that would be appreciated. And Bethany will be around the corner before you know it. CEC and trustees will meet Wednesday at 7 p.m. I believe BBS Planning is meeting at 6 beforehand. Yep, okay. And we'll continue to put the final plans together for that as well. Does anybody else have any other announcements at this time? Linda.
We now have $285, so we're at $15 short of our goal.
I got $5 more.
All right. Let's give a big round of applause to Nick, our big businessman. Thank you. Thank you once again to all who contributed and helped make our VBS a reality. It really is worth it to see the smiles on the kids' faces in this coming week. Any other announcements at this time? All right, before we stand and greet one another, I'm going to invite Doug Miller and McKenna Cannon to come up. We have two people who are just back freshly from their Texas mission trip. They're going to tell us all about the great state of Texas. Maybe get McKenna to put her cowboy hat in the air now that she's a true Texan.
So I could probably talk for like 3 hours about this, but I'll try to keep it brief. So we left early Saturday morning and flew out of Pittsburgh into Houston, and we worked Monday through Thursday at two different sites mostly. One house was of a grandmother who had two special needs grandchildren whose house was destroyed in Harvey. And we went there and mostly had some outside work, so we had to mow, pull weeds, clean up trash, and we had to paint inside. So we did that, got everything done that we needed to there, and then we went to a Baptist church called Peaceful Rest and worked there most of the time. We painted, and we had a lot of cracks that needed mudded and sanded, and painted a lot in there. and got that, it looks worlds better than when we got there. And we didn't just work, we had some fun a little too. We were sending pictures to Chris Johnson because she does the Ohio Moravian Blogspot, which if you haven't looked at it, go on Ohio Moravian's Blogspot and look at it. She posted updates 2 or 3 times a day with pictures and information about what we were doing. So if you want more information, go look there. But we were sending her pictures and she's like, send some pictures of you guys having fun too. It's going to look like you're running a slave labor operation down there. Because we were just working, working, working. But we did have some fun. We went to the beach on Friday and we went shopping and we had some fun. I got a hat. So.
She said we did do some work and it wasn't actually too bad because we did have air conditioning where we worked on a few places, so it wasn't extremely bad. We did also work at a Proctor Church and Baptist Church down there, and we did some painting there where we met up with a Canadian. They were from Canada. There was a group, or New Mexico, yes. I don't know, Canada, but. New Mexico, yes. We met up with a group from New Mexico. So big difference, but anyway. We did get a lot accomplished, and they were very grateful. We got to try a lot of different foods that were a little bit different. There was one called frito, which was basically dried banana on the bottom, and it had like fried chicken in the middle, and it had coleslaw on top. So. It was very interesting, but it was pretty good. So, feel free to talk to us after the worship, or I will be glad to talk to you more about it. So.
Let's give our mission team a big round of applause for all their hard work they did. I'm just talking to Pastor Daryl and Chris. It sounds like everybody had a great trip, and a lot of people renewed their faith and proudly served their church and mission. And also a big thanks to many of you who made this opportunity happen for our mission team. For those of you that supported our many dinners and meals that we had. For those of you that bought coupon books. There are a lot of people in this area who helped support our mission team and made this trip doable for a lot of people. So we give a lot of thanks to you as well. And I really do encourage you to check out that OMMC blog because you can see a lot of pictures from our mission team getting their hands dirty and really doing a lot of good work. At this time, I invite you to stand and greet one another as we share God's love.
Morning, Steve. Morning. 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 Morning.
At this time, I invite you to remain standing as we join together in the watchword for the week. Oh, you're good. Our watchword this week comes from the second chapter of Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9. Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." You may be seated.
Please rise for the call to worship.
I lift up my eyes to you, O God. Our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he shows us his mercy.
Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy.
Let us join together now to sing Christians Dismiss Your Fear, hymn number 356 in your Meridian Book of Worship.
Thank you.
Let us turn our attention and hearts and minds to a time of prayer. First, we remember in our prayers Jordan Hamill, a friend of Millie's who will have surgery. We continue to hold in our prayers Janie Martin, who has been hospitalized once again this past week. We also continue to uplift the Canfield family in prayer as we have a celebration of life service for Ted on Saturday at 11 a.m. right here at the church. Rick Swaldo, as he continues to undergo lymphoma treatments. On July 6th, we remember the anniversary well over 600 years for the martyrdom of John Huss, somebody who taught us that the importance is following Jesus, to always seek the truth, no matter what the consequences is. And one of my favorite quotes from Huss is he says, "Live as Christ, and you will know Christ well," which reminds us that our actions reflect our faith in all we do. And we also give thanks for our Texas mission team, who not only did a great job representing our Meridian Church, but did a great job of service, helping the community in need and reminding us that at the heart of all we do is our sense of mission, to serve God in all times and all places. So let us take a moment in silence to invite God in this time of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you today in gratitude for all that you have done for us. We are especially thankful to our invitation to the communion table today. We remember it was people like John Huss and Jacques Ubeck of Strebo who reminded that the communion table was open to all people, not just the clergy, but to all children of God who are seeking God. And let us give thanks that the forgiveness of God is always right on our fingertips. For we know all it takes is an open heart to allow God to come in and forgive us instantaneous of all our mistakes and all of our sins. Gracious God, we pray for the sick, the hungry, those in need of faith, love, and shelter. Help all those who have been dealing with the heat be protected and stay cool. And help us to remind to help others whenever we have the opportunity to. And gracious God, we give thanks for our Texas mission team. They had the courage to go to a different place, a different opportunity in the blistering heat, and they serve God with a smile on their face. And help us all to remind us that no matter how difficult the circumstances are, you will guide us through it. Because if we are faithful, there is no thorn in our flesh too hard that can keep us from serving. Because in even the smallest bit of service, we can see God's grace. And God's grace can shine. And it can light up the entire world and help our entire world to see that. Because there's so much negativity, so much anger, so much bitterness in our world. But if we're willing to let go of all that, we can see the true world that we are created to belong to, a world where faith, hope, and love reign supreme. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 through 10. It can be found in your pew Bible on page 822. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong."
Thank you, Steve. Our gospel today comes from the 6th chapter of Mark, the rejection of Jesus at Nazareth. He left the place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals, and to not put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is a reading of God's holy word. May it reach your heart, your mind, and your actions. Thanks be to God.
This time I invite the children to come forward for the children's chat. So good morning. How's everybody doing today? Is everybody enjoying their summer? Did anybody get out in the pools this past week? Go swimming? Yeah, it's a good thing to do this week. That's all right. We all learn. We're going to get there. You got plenty of time to learn how to swim. So what we're going to talk about is Jesus went out with his disciples, and he told them to go with nothing but a staff. That's all they brought with them. And so I want to tell you about a time that I left my house with nothing but a staff. And it was when I was 6 or 7 years old, and I was living under this oppressive regime called Mom and Dad. And they had all these crazy rules, like who has a rule that they have to eat vegetables with their dinner before they can have dessert? I was the only one? No? Okay, you guys had that. And I had this really early bedtime, so I could never see the end of the Brewers game or the second half of Monday Night Football. And my sister, I had an older sister who would always pick on me, just relentlessly. And I would be the one to fight back with her, and guess who would be the one who'd always get caught in trouble? It was always me, because I was always the one who fought back. So I decided that I had enough of this. And so I decided I'm running away from home. And so what I did is I decided I don't need anything. I don't need any of these people here. So I got right up out of my house. I ran, and I started to walk. I didn't run. I needed to save my energy. And I got about one house down, two houses down, three houses down. And then you know something? I forgot something. What boy can run away from home without his little dog? And so I realized that I needed to go back home. And I didn't tell anybody. I was very angry. I opened the door, and I got, pretend this is my little miniature toy poodle. This is Bears that I had back in the day. And I strung up my leash, and I brought Bears with me. And then I closed the door really hard. And you know what I did? I got back down, and I went 1, 2, 3, about 3 houses down. And then I realized, you know what? What little boy can leave home without his football? How can I survive in the wilderness without my football? So I grabbed not only my football, but I grabbed my little Packers bobblehead, because people needed to know who the football belonged to. And so once again, I angrily shut the door, and I got all the way down there, and I got 1, 2, 3 houses down. And then you realize, you know what? I forgot something else. I got to look to see what else I forgot, because a little boy cannot survive without his favorite toy. And my toy was it wasn't a stuffed Groot at that time, but it was probably a Woody from Toy Story. And I got about this far, so my hands started to get fuller, and then I started to walk down. I got 1, 2, 3 houses down. And then what little boy can go without his favorite stuffed animal? Rylan and Nick, I need you guys. Can you guys help me? My favorite stuffed animal is behind there. Can you guys grab him for me? All right, I need you to put him in my hands for me. So, this was me about 20 minutes later, trying to get down my street with all my toys and all my objects. How far do you think I got? I think I fell asleep by about the second house. That's what happened. So what do you guys think kept me coming back to home? What do you think made me keep going back? You think it was all the toys? No, what do you think it was? Love. It was that my parents loved me, that I knew God loved me, and I knew that I was safe in that house. And you know what? Despite all the disagreements I had with my parents, all the arguments, I still knew that that love was the most important thing I had. And I could carry all the toys that I had, everything I owned in my hands, and it was never going to be enough. So that's why I want you to remember how the disciples were empowered, because they went door to door with all they had was love. All they had was love and a staff. And they were able to do that because love was far more powerful than anything they owned. So I want you to remember that when you start to think that things are so hard at home or things get really tough, that you still got love in that house. So let's have a moment of prayer. Put the lion back to sleep. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for these kids, for the love and the giftedness that they bring our church. We ask that their smiles be contagious to us as adults, because they are some of your best disciples. They share your words with their actions and deeds. And please bless them this summer to enjoy their time with their family, their friends, and their siblings. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys go ahead and grab a Rice Krispie treat. Let us all join together now in a moment of prayer. Gracious and loving God, may you open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to your words today, and inspire us to carry the gospel, not just in our pews, but in our world every single day. In your name we pray. Amen. So our message today comes from the Apostle Paul, who tells us to boast in our weaknesses. Those of you that have read the Apostle Paul, you know he can be a very difficult biblical mind for us to read and to comprehend. Listen to how he starts this chapter that Steve read for us. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Whether I was in the body or out of the body, God knows. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. What in the world is this guy talking about? That's the first question that goes through the mind. What is the Apostle Paul thinking about? The third heaven, is he ranking the heavens? Is there a top 10 heaven? You know, maybe the Bears fans can't get past level 5 or something like that. I don't know. That's just Paul's theory on that. But my first take when I heard this about Paul is maybe he had one too many sips of that sweet Roman wine at that time, and he started to get a little too creative, if you know what I mean. Or maybe he was a few cards short of the full deck. But what's really cool about Paul is that he can do these, he can make these statements that seem just so crazy and astounding. And then he'll follow them up with something very beautiful and profound and with words that will transcend generations. Read what he says in verses 8 to 10. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. Whenever I am weak, then I am strong. And I love those words from Paul, because these words are thousands of years old and they still remind us about the human experience that has been universal from the beginning of Adam and Eve to our day, that we all struggle with our weaknesses. And there's a lot of debate when Paul references the thorn in his flesh. What is that for Paul? For some people, they think it's a physical challenge that he has. I mean, the man traveled thousands and thousands of miles in the ancient world, so he could have had a sore leg or a bad hip or a bad back, and he spent time in prison where they were treated not in the most humane conditions. Some people thought it could have been his size. Paul was a little guy, very fiery. There are people who wondered if it was that. People also theorized about headaches. Mediterranean fever at this time was a huge issue, and they would get throbbing migraine headaches, and they would not know the cause of it, and they would just sit there in a ton of pain until they would pray for God to deliver them, until that pain finally subsided. There are people who wondered if it was his celibacy or his sexuality, things that he struggled with. There are a lot of theories, but nobody knows specifically what Paul's thorn in his flesh was. And it makes us think about our own lives. What is a thorn in your flesh? What is something that you think keeps you from being the person you were created to be? We all have them. They're mental, they're emotional, they're physical. All of us have these different types of things that really challenge us to our core. I know for me, my hearing loss was a big thorn in my flesh that I faced a lot of adversity through my life, but allowed me to open a lot of doors that I didn't see. And what I like about this scripture is it doesn't spend a lot of time talking about evil, but it does recognize it. And I personally, as a minister, I don't spend a lot of time talking about evil and Satan, all these big terms, because I believe the more we focus on evil, the less we focus on God. However, we all have weeks where it feels like we are facing off with that Satan with a capital S, where it just feels like we are getting far more than we deserve. One of my friends would always say, who's heard the saying, God never gives us any more than you can handle? Who's ever heard that one? I have a friend who would always say, well, I wish God wouldn't believe in me so much, because it's been a heck of a week that I've had. And we've all struggled with that. And I think that statement comes from a good place when people say that, but it's almost like they're using your faith against you. Because you have so much faith, God is going to punish you so much more. And sometimes we've got to be more intentional about how we talk to people and just be present to their pain. But I will say, this past week, Emily and I had an interesting week when we came back from Synod. I have three cochlear implants. And my first one happened to break while I was at Synod. And then we got home 2 days later. I cut the grass. I swear to God, I put my cochlear implant in one spot. I got back from cutting the grass. It was no longer there. We spent an entire week turning up entire corners of my house. I was digging through my garbage looking for this thing, because I could not imagine where I left it. And it was one of those weeks where it just felt like life was kicking my butt. because I not only did one go bad, two went bad. The blessing was we had a week left on our warranty, so praise God for that, because we would have had some serious expenses there. But it was in weeks like that, you know, where I feel that presence. We all have bad weeks where that lowercase Satan becomes a capital S Satan. And we all become scared of that because it just seems like we're getting hammered and hammered and nothing is stopping. But in those weeks, sometimes those can be our most faithful weeks. Because if everything is going perfect in your life, if everything is going great, you don't need a whole lot of faith in those weeks because everything is awesome. And I promise you, it would be so easy to be a Christian if everyone was LeBron James or Miss America. If at 18 years old you became a multimillionaire and the whole world fell in love with you. But even those people had challenges. People like LeBron James grew up in a rough area of Akron, without a father, without a role model, and he had to overcome adversity. But it's in those weeks where we are challenged that shows how much faith we have. Because those are the weeks we grow. And this is why Jesus reminds us that faith in God is not about the material possessions we own. It's not about the car we have in our driveway. It's not about how big our house is. Mark 6:8 says, this is what he tells his disciples. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. And the reason Jesus says that is because he wants to live our lives dependent on divine compassion and human compassion. Imagine that. If you woke up every single day dependent on the compassion of people around you, whether it be God or whether it be your neighbor, think about how your attitude would change. Because when we live our lives dependent on compassion, it's hard to be cynical about God's world. And I'm not saying go out and sell everything you own, become a beggar in the street. But what I am saying is the coffee we drink in the morning, the toast that we butter, and the cars that we drive, those are all made possible by God's compassion for us. All those small things in our lives happen because God loves us. So therefore, when we start to obsess about that thorn in our flesh, or we get a bad taste of woe is me, everything is bad in my world, everything is happening to me, we got to change our mindset. We got to look at the challenge that we've been given from a different perspective, from a godly perspective. Because nothing we receive in this world comes from our own merits or accomplishments. Everything we receive is a gift from God. Everything you receive in your life is a gift from God. I'm sure those of you that served in Texas this past week got to see that. People who had been knocked down, people who had faced a difficult life but still had a smile on their face because they knew that everything they had was given from God. So everything we receive is a gift from God. And when we see our lives as gifts, it's hard to remain cynical. It's hard to keep that bad attitude. So when we look with that perspective, we can look at the challenges life presents us and say, bring it on. Give it your best shot. Let's see what you got. For when we are weak in those moments, that is the time God will equip us with strength. That is the time God will hold our hand and get us through a dark period. And those are your moments of deepest faith. Not when everything's going perfect, not when everything's going awesome, but when you're willing to trust in God when challenges arise. Because that's what God teaches us. That in all times and all places, God will carry through for us. God will guide us exactly where we need to be in the exact moment of time. And there's so many of us who work through those instances, and looking back in hindsight, we can look at the thousands of little moments that God guided us through to get through those moments. And I talked to you earlier about my cochlear implant and losing that and having one break down and how frustrating that was. But it just so happened to be in that last week where my 5-year warranty was expiring. Had those mistakes happened 1 week later, would have been out a lot of money, and I would have been a poor pauper pastor for you for the next week. But because God was willing to guide me at a time where I could withstand that, it was a blessing. And there are so many challenges you're going to get in your life where you're going to look back and you're going to thank God for equipping you for strength. Because if everything went perfect in your life at every single moment, you wouldn't have a whole lot of faith. But because you trust in God in those moments when things get difficult, that's what allows you to grow in faith, hope, and love. And may you always use that to serve God in all times and all places. Let us turn our hearts and minds to Holy Communion as we celebrate the gift of the martyr of John Huss, and most importantly, the gift that Jesus has given all of us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so grateful for all the things you do in our lives. We're so grateful that you work through our weaknesses, our hardships, our insults, and our persecutions. Because you, O God, are not a fairy God, but you are a God who carries us in all times, in all places. And you will be with us in the hard times, and help us to remember us. Help us to focus and see that none of us have to walk this journey alone. That all of us are invited into your compassion. And when we become worried, when we start to struggle, when we start to sink, help us to become dependent on human compassion and divine compassion, because they will guide us exactly where we need to be. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to join together in song. You may rise. Welcome you to the Holy Communion table. The Moravian Church has an open communion table. All who welcome Christ's love in their heart are welcome at the table. If you would like your child to receive communion, just have them remain standing. If you would not like them to have communion, just have them remain seated and I will offer them a blessing. We'll turn now to our service for Holy Communion in celebration of John Huss. There's a white insert you received. Did anybody not receive this insert? Okay. Ushers, do we have any in the back that we can hand out for a little? If you haven't received one, just keep your hand in the air and we'll get you up. Now would be a good time to give thanksgiving for Brother Denny, who fixed our air conditioner earlier this morning. So it's better than it was before, I'll tell you that, okay? Thank you, Ross, for handing all those out. Let us now turn our hearts and minds to our invitation to the Lord's table. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us extend the right hand of fellowship. Please rise. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the invitation to the table today as a community of faith. We thank you for opening our hearts and minds and for your forgiveness that is unconditional and eternal. We are so loved by you, so gifted by your grace that we have no words but to say thank you. Let us join together and pray the words that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may be seated. Please rise. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection. In the same way after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to all the disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." You may be seated.
Plagiarize.
Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Drink from this, all of you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. This bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. Let us extend the right hand of fellowship. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Go in peace, brothers and sisters.